And with our guest Joel Skousen, as we're talking about world events through his eyes and perspective, we'll take your calls this hour with him as well on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Joel Skousen with us. Joel, today Nicholas Cruz was charged with premeditated murder in the deaths of 17 people down there in Parkland, Florida. Very tragic, horrible situation. But do you think that there are some things that just don't jive up? What are they?
Well, in every one of these shootings, there are handlers present. You have unstable people that are being taken advantage of by black operations in order to do a shooting, in order to push gun control. Here's the evidence in a brief thing about multiple shooters here. Of course, there's two students on camera that say they saw a second shooter. But the most dramatic evidence is from teacher Stacy LaPelle, who was on Good Morning America and said that she was just shocked as she heard shooting. She popped her head out the door and she said to herself, what are the police doing here? Here's a guy in full black garb, armor all over him, helmet, mask on his face, with a weapon that she had never seen before. And she knew what an AR-15 looked like, so this wasn't an AR-15. And he was proceeding with automatic weapon fire to shoot down the hallway. Now, that doesn't match what Nicholas Cruz had. He got out of an Uber car. He had in a backpack a folded-down F-16 with a gas mask and a couple of smoke grenades and some magazines. And he got out, and within 2 minutes, he was shooting. Then he ditched that stuff, got into line, and walked out of the school with the other people that were exiting. These shooters, and of course, Stacy LaPelle just assumes this had to be Nicholas Cruz, because she hasn't put two and two together. Mm-hmm. This was impossible. In addition, there's a video showing three or four big burly guys bringing out equipment in a big duffel bag, a big heavy black duffel bag, and loading in a pickup and zooming off. And they're in black. And I've got links to this in the World Affairs Brief. Your listeners can get a free copy of that by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And they can see this evidence for themselves. They can see the guys. I mean, you just don't bring evidence out of a building and stick it in a pickup and drive off.
No.
After shooting.
Everything stays. They're supposed to.
You know, it's cordoned off. These guys were in black. This was a black operations team, and in their shooting. And now, I mean, this isn't the only example. For example, in Sandy Hook.
Well, let's not go there.
But no, let me just say, the police had handcuffed and put into custody six people. Only one was explained to the public. Only one. In Las Vegas, for example.
Well, they probably didn't know if there were many involved or not. So they started arresting anybody they could find.
Well, but why not explain? You see, they only explained one. There were people, I mean, I won't go into all of Sandy Hook, but look at the Las Vegas shooting. There's a massive cover-up there. There were three other casinos that were shot up that night. Bellagio, Tropicana, Hooters. There was, and I've heard as a pilot, the FAA tapes from McCarran Airport, which is right across the street from the concert. And the tower is shutting down runway 19, saying there are active shooters on the runway. We are closing runway 19. You cannot land there.
Well, but it's possible there, Joel, that the gunfire from that nut, Stephen Paddock, hit the airport. He was in the view of the airport because he hit some tanks or something, didn't he?
That's not the point. The tower is saying we're closing because we have active shooters on the runway.
Maybe they were panicking. Maybe there were shots that hit the runway.
No. They're saying there are active shooters on the runway, people with weapons crossing the runway. So what I'm just saying, but here's the point. How do you have three casinos shot up? The Bellagio whole front lobby was blown out. Inside the casino of the Tropicana was shooting going on, and at Hooters as well. And the Las Vegas Review and Journal covered it the first day, saying there were other shooters. I mean, other.
And then what happened? It went away.
Nothing. It disappeared. somebody called the Review, and nobody has ever mentioned since then, not a single newspaper, not a single story about these other casinos being shot up. It's all about Stephen Paddock.
I mean, if you walked into the Bellagio and talked to some pit bosses, would they tell you we got shot up, or would they say this is nonsense?
No, they have. I was just in Las Vegas, and I found several people who knew about it.
Weird.
But it's not weird. I'm just saying this is a major...
I'm saying it's weird that nobody's saying anything.
It's not only weird, it's proof that there's a conspiracy to cover up and to point the finger at a single shooter with a bump stock. But let me tell you...
But you're not saying the single shooter wasn't the one.
Yes, I am.
You're saying that this 17-year-old, this kid...
I'm saying... Cruz was a shooter, yes, but there were other shooters. But in the Paddock thing, I think he was a patsy. That room, and you see the photograph, if he had shot thousands of rounds with automatic weapons, with a bump stock even, it would have been ankle deep in ammunition.
He was up there in his room. He had brought these weapons up there. How could he be a patsy?
But how do you know that?
Wow, they've got video of him going up and down with his...
No, there's no video of him carrying weapons in there.
Well, I think they have it, and they're not showing
us. Well, but the point is, Campos, you know, the one that was supposedly shot in the room, he, you know, none of the security people knew who he was. He was not a security guard at the thing. I mean, this is a major cover-up here. But look at the fact that there's no weapons... Look at the coroner's report. There is no ballistics evidence tracing any bullets. None of the coroner's report talks about caliber bullets and tracing to the weapons. And this happened ever since Dunblane, the school shooting in Scotland that gave gun control to Britain. The guy who apparently shot up the school committed suicide, but the problem was they did forensics, and the bullet in his head didn't match the gun in his hand.
If what you say is true, there's a bigger story here than just some people upset about guns and gun control. There's something else afoot here.
Well, it's the deep state trying to get gun control, and we're going to see more and more shooting. In fact, that's what happened in Las Vegas. They looked at Sandy Hook and said, look, if killing kids didn't get gun control, we better kill hundreds. And they pulled off... I mean, there's so much that I covered in the World Affairs brief about the anomalies, you know, the two windows that shot up, the other windows that were opened up in the hotel where there were flashes seen of shooting, helicopters that were seen sparking with, weapons fire, the shooters on the runway. I mean, this was a massive operation, and to blame it on one guy.
With no motive still.
With no motive. And I'll tell you, this guy was suicided. There's a picture of him with his head on the ground with two pools of blood, one that's bigger and dried and then a small coagulated one afterwards. That just doesn't happen with a person who's shot once, and you don't kill yourself twice if you're suiciding. I mean, this guy, I believe, was the patsy and set up to take the blame on this thing.
Or he was also part of it.
He could have been, but it's very doubtful. But remember this. There was one woman, for example, who was shot three times in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control a bump stock. I've seen videos of people using a bump stock, and they can't hit a target at 25 yards. You couldn't, from 1,000 yards, hit one person in the chest.
Well, didn't some people say there was a shooter on the ground?
That's right. That we have the video of a guy in a security guard-type reflective vest opening fire on the crowd with a 9mm Uzi-type weapon. Now, that's why there's no forensics, is because... If the coroner starts pulling out 9mm bullets instead of 223 Remington or 5.56 NATO rounds, then it didn't come from Paddock's weapon.
Not those, at least. Strange. All right, let's take some calls. They're lining up for you.
Okay.
Joe in the Bronx, welcome to the program. Hey, Joe.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good, sir. Good.
Good guest. Joe, I'd like to ask you about Nicholas Cruz. It was reported early on that he was a member of a junior Army ROTC where he was being trained to shoot. Then I never heard any follow-up reports referring to that afterward as the events were unfolding. Do you happen to know anything more about that?
Yes, he was a member of ROTC, and But they don't get any training in AR-15s and that. They don't get any pistol or rifle training in ROTC at all, unless they go to summer camp, which he had not been to. So he actually got his practice with an AR at a rifle range.
39 times police were called to his place. 39 times, and they didn't do anything about it, Joel.
And the reason they didn't do anything, George, is because there was a secret deal between the school district and the police to downplay and to not report any misbehavior and criminal activity of students in order to get more federal funds. It had worked in the Miami-Dade County, and this Broward County decided to do the same thing. I covered in this week's World Affairs Brief the actual documents which show the agreement between the police and the school to downplay any criminal activity.
And then to shut the kid up, they expelled him. They tossed him out of school.
Well, and he was all going to an alternate school, and they let him back in the high school because he didn't like the alternate school, which was for bad kids, et cetera. And then, of course, he got past 18, and they just, let him go.
How'd he
win? But what I'm saying is if there are other shooters in this venue, which I'm positive there were, somebody had to know and have contact and have a handler with this kid so they knew when he was going to shoot up the school so mm-hmm. they could be there at the same time. This cannot be accidental.
Showing no remorse, laughing in court. He's definitely whacked out, isn't he?
Well, at times, but at other times he seems very calm and he wants to read the Bible and he seems repentant. This is typical of somebody who goes under, remember, this is under mood-altering drugs. James Holm, the Batman shooter, as soon as he got into court, he had that space-out look.
Yep.
And they put him back on his moods, mood-altering drugs, so that he wouldn't talk or know what was happening to him. But I think there's a controlled entity. They pick these unstable kids to be the front man, the patsy, and then there are handlers and other shooters involved that are supposed to kill the guy if they don't commit suicide. That's what happened.
Well, in his case, then, he hasn't said anything to anybody, I don't think, that there were other people involved with him.
And he probably doesn't know.
Why would he not know?
I mean, he would know maybe that there was a person who helped him get the AR-15 or helped him get the gas mask or the smoke grenades. I mean, where do you get smoke grenades in a gas mask?
But apparently he has not told police that, I don't think. If he has, they're going to take him out.
The police have to be covering for something here. I mean, they've got to know who they, remember, there's video in that school, and they are not releasing the video because the video is going to show these other police-clad, armored people doing the shooting. Nobody's seen any video from the school.
What if they're in there trying to shoot at him? Well, he's already gone, isn't he?
Well, but that's not what the teacher said. She said they were shooting at her, and they came and shot through the door and wounded her.
Interesting take. Let's go to Wayne in Chicago. Hey, Wayne, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, George. Just give me a few minutes. First of all, I want to say to all these deep state provocateurs who are doing things like killing people in high schools, hell will be very full. When you go, your body will burn and your worm will not die. So I'm letting you all know what's coming for you. But anyway, I want to disagree with the guest on the premise that China and Russia want to go to war with the United States. I disagree with that premise completely. Obama, under the Obama administration, countries like Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, Romania, they're surrounding Russia with troops and weapons. The United States is supporting a Nazi fascist regime inside Ukraine. The only reason why the Russians went into Ukraine was to stop the slaughter of the Russians and the Russian-speaking people in Ukraine. The Crimeans decided to join Russia. Russia did not take Crimea. So the United States is the aggressor in all of this. They've been threatening North Korea for 70 years with nuclear annihilation. And also the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the intelligence arm of the Pentagon, came out with a report 5 years ago already saying that North Korea can miniaturize nukes and put them in deliverable missiles. And the thing about it is, if they launch a missile out into space, they don't have to re-enter the missile. They can explode the missile over the United States And that's it for us. We're done. EMP, our electric grid is gone. So comments.
There you go, Joel. What do you think?
Boy, where do I start?
Yeah.
First of all, an EMP, it takes six high-altitude weapons to blanket the grid, not one. North Korea doesn't have that capability to do that. So that is not... they do not have, in fact, a warhead that will penetrate the atmosphere in terms of a nuclear attack on America, but Russia and China do. If they're not a threat, then why are they building these massive weapons of mass destruction? They're clearly preparing for that. It's been in their DNA for many years. I could, you know, talk about
What about Russia and Ukraine?
Well, you see, I'm probably the only one in the World Affairs brief that explained why the phony coup, just like the phony fall of the Soviet Union, where the Communist Party just went underground, it was a phony coup in Ukraine. Poroshenko is not a pro-Western, anti-Russian leader. The reason I know that is because during the Orange Revolution there, where in the main square, the Maidan Revolution in Kiev, on Thursday, you know, the street protesters refused to accept the deal that the communist prime minister or president Yanukovych had made with the protest leaders, because they really weren't the leaders of the Maidan. But then on Friday, the Berkut, the secret police that was surrounding all the protesters and keeping them under pointed weapons, stayed in their barracks and didn't come out, and that's why the protest so-called won. They had the run of the palace and had the run of the official buildings. That's like conservatives burning tires and rioting in the streets of Washington, D.C., and suddenly the Marines don't show up to guard the White House. How many would believe that that was really that we won? Only the Berkut, only Yanukovych could have given orders to the Berkut to stay in their barrack and let the protesters win. So it was a phony win. And I think Poroshenko is actually working for the Russians, just like Timoshenko was before Yanukovych. It's a little bit complex, and a lot of people don't recognize the names I'm saying. But I'll tell you that it's not what it seems.
Joel, somewhere along the line, you saw something about the deep state that bothered you, that got you into this. What was that?
Well, it actually started when I was clear back... about 17 years old, when I read my uncle's book, The Naked Communist, about all of the communist infiltration within the FDR and Truman administration, and the evidence that Joe McCarthy tried to tell the American people, but the left liberal press, you know, would not hear of it. But what I picked up from the book, and what I subsequently learned when I was in Washington as chairman of the Conservative National Committee, is that there's a whole bunch of people who are not communists that are protecting the communists in government, and that protected them from being fired when they...
Why?
And these turned out to be, I believe, globalists, meaning they're using communism to break down the world order, to create revolutions and conflict. So globalists can come in and give them their version of free trade, which isn't free trade. It's corporatism. It's favoritism to the big corporations, et cetera. And it's for the major international bankers and things, and how they can take control over countries through getting them in debt.
Hold on, Joel. We're going to come back and take some final calls with you in a moment, and then Robert Kopecky joins me. How to get to heaven without really dying. Well, next hour, we're going to be talking about how to get to heaven without really dying. Looking forward to that. A couple of great changes to the coasttocoastam.com website. A mini player has now been featured on the homepage and articles page. It plays a free highlight clip from the most recent show. It's really cool. And if you're looking for stations, look now under media rather than events. You'll find it under media, a whole listing of our zillion stations that we're on. And welcome back to Coast, Joel Skousen with us, our final segment. Joel, let's talk a little bit about the deep state. That was defined back in 2014, but obviously it's been around much longer, right?
It has. I think this, conspiracy to get us into a global government has been going on actively, at least since the beginning of the last century. World War I and World War II were caused by them in order to get us into a global government. World War I failed. World War II got us a toothless United Nations. But World War III is supposed to get us a militarized global government with taxing power and everything else.
In your opinion, where do they live? Who are they? All over the planet? They're everywhere?
You know, I think there's probably only less than 500 who really know the whole story and are part of the conspiracy. It's that small, but they're very, very powerfully located. I mean, for example, Henry Kissinger is the highest known globalist, and Trump has met with him four times and thinks he's wonderful. But he's the guy that General Jim Jones at the Munich Security Conference said, and he was the Obama's first national security advisor. He says, at the National Security Council, we get our daily marching orders from Henry Kissinger, passed down through Brent Scowcroft or Sandy Berger. Now, that's a proof of conspiracy, because Henry Kissinger isn't in any position of government,
no.
Yet he's giving daily marching orders to the National Security Council.
Where would the name George Soros fit in?
He is a globalist. I think he's up there in the league with Henry Kissinger. He mostly deals not in policy, but in funding all of the radical anti-Trump movements. And I mean, he's even been banned because of his manipulation of currency in the Netherlands and for interference in their government.
Why doesn't he just butt out of people's lives?
Because he's a globalist. He's there to, in fact, interfere with people's lives. I mean, this is not a benevolent person.
So he's made his billions, and now he's bored, so he wants to do this.
He's not bored. He's a known conspiracy and a globalist conspiracy to destroy American sovereignty, and that's what he's funding. And these guys are dedicated.
Let's take some more calls for you. Carlos in Carson, California is with us. Hey, Carlos, go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Skousen. Well, yes, George Soros has something called the quantum, I think he's got a quantum fund, something to that effect, where he funds all these different revolutions across the world. But NNM Rothschild is the biggest investor in this quantum fund. So you can see there who's George Soros' ancestors, the Rothschild. Okay, now Henry Kissinger came out of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, okay? So you can see who are Henry Kissinger's bosses. You got the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, you got the British royal family. These people run the world. And of course, these globalist agenda to create a world government goes way back to 1773 when Adam Weishaupt came out and formed the Illuminati, and it probably goes way back hundreds of years before that. This is the latest phase probably started with Adam Weishaupt. But beyond that, Kim Jong-un, Putin, Trump, they're all agents for the Illuminati, and they're all colluding to lead into a third world war, which will set the stage then for the world government, okay? So, you know, as much as they play enemy, they're all being financed by the Illuminati, okay? They're all traitors, okay? We should get rid of these people. These are the people we should get rid of. The Rockefellers, Rothschild, the Queen of England, all the people are the real terrorists. Not ISIS, not all these people were supposedly fighting in the Middle East. We should bring all our troops back from the Middle East. All these phony wars on terrorism are just phony wars. We're not spreading democracy. We're spreading terrorism through all these top Illuminati families. Thank you very much.
All right, there you go.
Well, let me just comment that of course, I didn't go into the whole history of the Illuminati and others. It does go back a long way, and it is a long-running conspiracy. It involves many facets. But I would disagree, for example, that everybody's involved and they're only just playing a game. Reagan was not a member of the globalist elite, and that's why they pulled an assassination to keep him alive. Trump is not either. Look, they don't treat puppets like George W. Bush or Barack Obama with daily and hourly attacks trying to destroy him and get him out. It isn't that Trump is really doing what he promised. He isn't. He is being manipulated. He's being turned on many occasions, but he isn't controlled. And you can watch and see how, I mean, I'm convinced that there is a small cadre that really knows everything, but there are hundreds of thousands that follow the globalists and do their bidding because they know there's a powerful system of control and they don't dare bucket. Even President Woodrow Wilson, before he died, said there is a system so sinister and powerful that controls our government that no one dares speak above a whisper about it. And that shows how deep it goes. But it doesn't mean that everybody who's doing the bidding of the globalist is a knowing member of it.
And their tentacles go everywhere, I take it.
They do. Because these top people are in all the positions of power. And he's right about the royal family. He's right about the Rothschilds. He's right about the international bankers. But this is not just about money. This is much deeper about control and power. These people are already the most wealthy people in the world. How many more yachts and wine, women, song, and second homes can you use? This is about power. And it may even have a satanic component in terms of inspiration.
Next up, let's go to Ann in Frankfort, Kentucky. Hello, Ann. Good to have you back.
You too, guys. Good God. Your courage is awe-inspiring, both of you. Where I have misgivings about First Strike, even though I agree that Truman was right in the decision he made to drop nuclear on Japanese cities, I sense intuition-wise underneath a lot of this manipulation has something to do with those who will not give up on their ambition to destroy New York City. And since Dr. Osterholm gave a lecture that I heard about the ambitions of Osama bin Laden to destroy New York City with that truck underneath one of the trade towers to break those water walls. And that didn't work, and I think it was assumed that bringing down the towers with airplanes or with explosives and airplanes would bust those water walls, and it didn't work. I'm thinking that if there's a stumble into a first strike or some kind of attack, that that Kim Jong-un could destroy New York City. And where the other things didn't work.
What do you think, Joel?
Well, in the first place, Osama bin Laden was not involved. He was working for the CIA and was not involved in the first World Trade Center tower. In fact, the government had advance warning about that and let that go forward. In my opinion, 9/11 was a government black operation from beginning to end. I don't have time to go into that. But I don't think Kim Jong-un could take out New York City, because we can stop a single nuclear weapon coming in without maneuvering warheads. I think there's a larger, agenda there, as I said, to be a trigger event for World War III, and I think that's they're desperately trying to postpone.
Let me ask you this, Joel, too. It's something that's always perplexed me about 9/11 tragedy. I, by the way, lost an uncle by my mother's marriage. He was the brother of my mother's sister's husband. So it was not a blood uncle, but he was an uncle nonetheless. He died in one of the planes. But is it true that a pristine passport of Mohammed Atta was found outside near the base of the buildings?
Absolutely true, and it was planted.
It had to be planted. There's no way it would fall from the plane. It's just too bizarre.
Listen, I can tell you as a pilot that of these ne'er-do-wells that were named by the FDA as the hijackers, and they weren't the real hijackers, trained in Cessnas, they wouldn't even know how to turn off the autopilot of an airliner, let alone navigate it. And the navigation system is extremely complex. You'd never be able to have it navigate to New York City from clear out in the Midwest. Impossible.
How could they find a passport so pristine of one of the hijackers? That's what nobody ever really questioned that.
That's right. Well, a lot of people have questioned it, but nobody in the mainstream media.
The mainstream media.
And it's the same thing with the phony terrorist attacks supposedly by ISIS in Paris. A terrorist doesn't bring his passport with him.
What are your thoughts of Osama bin Laden?
He was working for the CIA.
He always was.
Yeah, always was, ever since Afghanistan, and paid for by, the Saudi government, and he was a Saudi, of course. But I can tell you
he was in the Los Angeles area for a while. They brought him here.
Yes, that's right. And the whole Bin Laden family was escorted out of the country while no one else could fly. Bush administration let all the Saudi families leave.
Why can't we get to that doctor who was his partner, Zawahiri? He's still hidden away somewhere.
Well, you've got to remember that all these major terrorists were at the top. The ordinary terrorists don't know that they're being run by U.S. and British intelligence, but the guys at the top know. I mean, that's, for example, why we keep rescuing them. Mosul, they left a whole sector out of the Western so that ISIS could escape to go to Raqqa. And when Raqqa fell, who paid for all the semi-trucks to haul ISIS and their families and their heavy weapons away from Raqqa to safety? The U.S. government paid for that.
We did not expect the Russians to come to the aid the way they did to Syria, did we?
That's right, and that's why ISIS got defeated. The Russians embarrassed the U.S. by attacking those oil convoys from ISIS that were going into Turkey and selling oil to Turkey. I mean, what's Turkey, an ally of ours, buying oil from ISIS?
Well, one of those selling through his tankers was the president's son.
Yeah, and it's because this was a government operation. They're only faking, and the Russians embarrassed the U.S. by attacking these convoys and saying, this is what you should be doing, U.S., if you're really serious about attacking ISIS.
Let's go west to Luis in Las Vegas. Hi there, Luis. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. You there? Oh, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. I'm sorry, too. You were holding. Tom, maybe you can see if you can get a better line before we're off. The guy was on the holding for an hour, and then we get to him, and his phone's breaking up. Poor guy. You know. Kevin in New York City. Let's give you a try, Kev. Go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
I called to say a visa ban on China would be a very powerful thing to prevent a war, because the Chinese don't care that North Korea is their junkyard dog, and they hate each other. So the main thing for the Chinese is to be able to get their money into our countries and to move here, because China, as you know, is demographically finished after 2050. It's the world's largest nursing home. So that they would not be willing to pay that cost. Now, I wanted to say one more thing.
Sure.
I've heard, you know, George, I love your show. I've heard you ask many times, why are we in Afghanistan? And a caller said something about it. We are in Afghanistan. I wish you would Google Faja Kufi from the Afghan parliament. There are more women in the Afghan parliament than the U.S. Senate. There are 4.5 million girls in school in Afghanistan. And Faja Kufi on TED on YouTube, you can see her TED speech. She says, the minute you guys leave, it's over.
I believe that. It's total collapse. So there's no question about that. Same with Iraq. Joel, do you believe that? That in Afghanistan, in Iraq, if we're gone, it collapses?
No, I don't believe that.
You don't?
I do think that there would be hell to pay because, you know, the Taliban wanting to put out, you know, the extreme Islamic view.
Yeah.
But they're going to be hell to pay from what we've created in Syria. If U.S.-backed rebels ever take over, there's going to be a bloodbath.
Well, let me ask you this. When the Vietnam War ended, when the North came sweeping down into Saigon and we left, what happened to all those officials who were South Vietnamese who supported us when the North came down? Did they let them live freely, or did they execute them? What happened?
No, they executed most of them. Some of them turned. But you've got to remember that North Korea came to the Paris Peace Conference to capitulate because our bombing of North Korea had worked. And Kissinger gave it away at the table. And he said, and we have this transcript now, he said to the North Vietnamese, he says, just give us 3 years before you take the South so that we don't look bad.
That's no way.
The betrayal a globalist has done in Vietnam. We actually won the war, and he gave it away at the peace conference.
Unbelievable. Joel, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it. Joel's website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Couple books out, Strategic Relocation, The Secure Home, and How to Implement a High Security Shelter in Your Home with Joel Skelson. When we come back in just a moment, Robert Kopecky joins me with his work, How to Get to Heaven Without Really Dying. It's pretty fascinating. So we're going to talk about his life and his work, and then, of course, you're part of the program later on.